This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up. The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Welcome to the Popcorn Talk Network, for the online broadcast network that features movie discussion, news, and interviews. Press one.
Popcorn Talk. We talk movies.
From the Popcorn Talk Network, the number one online broadcast network for movie talk, this is the Cosplay Coach. Costume breakdowns and tips and tricks to create your own. And now, the coach yourself, Meredith Placco.
And friends.
Yes, that was great. Every week, we're going to do that now. Yay, thank you, my harmonious court.
Next week, it'll be in two-part harmony.
It's
going to get better and better.
Just, you know, we just came up with that on the spot like 2 seconds before, so... Good job, guys.
Thanks.
We also have our new band name, which is Harmonious Court.
So, welcome back to another week of the Cosplay Coach, where we talk all things costumes. I am your host, Meredith Placco, and I'm joined, as always,
by Emma Fife.
Oh, I guess I should say Adam Placco. Sorry, I have a Twitter. You should follow me on Twitter, Adam Placco. I say things on there.
I also have a Twitter. It's at Emma Fife. It's my name. It's pretty easy.
I'm Elena Jordan. My Twitter is also my name, which is Elena Jordan.
And we are joined by our very wonderful queen, special guest, Kristen Carr.
I go by Space Invader online. You may have seen me around. My Twitter handle is at Space Invader Kate.
But you also have a more active Facebook page, right?
I do. My Facebook page is much more active. It's facebook.com/spaceinvadercos. Nice.
Ooh. Yay. Okay, and I also forgot. God, I guess I was so excited about the harmonizing. I screwed up our intro. All right, guys, welcome to the Cosplay Coach. Please go online and subscribe to us on YouTube and give us 5 stars over on iTunes. Also, why don't you head on over to Podcast One and give us a little bit of a survey boost. If you take this little like quick 5-minute survey, it really helps us. You can just go to podcastone.com and fill it out. Mention Popcorn Talk. If you can, mention Cosplay Coach. Give us all the best ratings, because apparently if you do that, that really means you really, really like us. And the people that live out there and over there and say yes or no to us will keep letting us come back. So
exactly.
So yeah, podcastone.com, go to YouTube and give us the thumbs up, and go to iTunes and give us 5-star ratings. Please and thank you. All right, moving right along to our Road to Comic-Con series.
Woo-hoo!
Oh my God, guys, it's only like 3 weeks away.
I know.
Don't remind me.
I keep having like minor panic attacks except I think I'm making it less time than it is, because the other week I was trying to schedule something and I was like, oh no, that's the week of Comic-Con. No, it's not. No, it's the week after that.
But it's like, because, you know, this week is E3, so a lot of us were busy for that.
Yeah.
And then Alana, Em, and I are going to be an amazing Las Vegas Comic Con at the South Point this weekend. So come on out and see us and, oh, I don't know, Rob Liefeld and Charles Soule and Steve McNiven, like Greg Capullo, you know, just those really cool comic book guys. John Barrowman, you know.
Yeah.
But really, come see us. But it's just been like one thing after another.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, I got to make my Polaris costume for Comic Con, and I was going to do a new White Queen, and I was gonna do, and I'm like, you know, okay, I'll do Polaris. You know what I'm gonna do, guys? Hold on. One second. You know what I am gonna do? Do you remember this? Do you guys remember this dress from the very first Cosplay Coach episode? I just have a little bit of gemstones to go on the back. I just have probably about 5 hours worth of gemstones. And I have all the underpinnings and everything done at home and some butterflies. And I will finish Cinderella I will not wear her to Comic-Con because it's really hot down there. But I'm going to finish this. I might wear it to Anime Expo.
Well, you know, if you did wear it to Comic-Con, you could keep people from bumping into you because then you'd have your own atmosphere from the Betty Co.
It's like my own... Well, because you're going to be...
bumper cars.
You're going to be... You're a guest judge at Anime Expo.
Yes, I am.
Here in L.A.
I'm judging the masquerade.
Oh, that's nice. So fantastic. And you're going to be wearing your Queen Elsa?
Yep.
Springtime Elsa. So maybe I will finish Cindy and we can do a Ladies of Disney thing.
Yes, I would like that.
So, but yeah, so Kristen is amazing, but and we'll talk a lot more about her. I just wanted to talk about that stupid costume. I sold. But yeah, so Comic-Con's upon us. Yes. But the thing that you should be excited about for Comic-Con is that all along the way, we're going to be doing our Road to Comic-Con cosplay challenge with McCall's Cosplay. And McCall's has been super amazing to us. They've donated so many patterns. We have more patterns this week to give away, guys. We also have, at Comic-Con, we're going to be doing a live cosplay contest with Popcorn Talk Network and McCall's, where you have a chance to win gift certificates and patterns and other special grand prizes that we can't announce yet. And I know not all of you can come out to Comic-Con, mm-hmm. so in conjunction, we'll be doing an online contest at the same time. We'll talk more about that at the end of the show because we have some winners from last week, and we have more stuff to give away this week. But keep in mind that the challenge for the big costume contest that's going to happen between July 9th and 12th, we're still ironing out those details about where our live show is going to be. It's super exciting, though. Our big boss is in a meeting right now, and I can't wait till we can announce this. But the cosplay challenge is basically we want you to design your own original take on your favorite character. So you can do a steampunk version, you can do a punk rock version, you could do maybe a Disney princess or a princess version of a character that's not a princess. So take whatever your favorite character is from your childhood, your favorite pop culture media, and make it into something that inspires you, and we will have awesome things to give away. So, pretty excited. Okay. All right. Enough preamble. Let's get on into the show. I know you guys are super excited. We've been talking about this for a couple weeks, but we are going to get into the new wave of Disney princesses.
Yes.
And it's not really cool 80s music. It's not New Order. But what we're going to talk about is...
Flock of Seagulls, Disney princess.
That would be a great cosplay
if
right
there. If you make that, you win.
You win.
Automatically.
Either Comic-Con or Comic-Con-line. Yeah. Both contests we have.
Hey.
Bad pun, starting it out.
This is why we keep Alana around, guys. But we're going to be talking about Merida, Tiana, Rapunzel, and of course, Anna and Elsa. We kind of can't ignore them. They're kind of a thing. Like a really big thing. But we're really excited because I think, you know, Disney princesses, regardless, I know some people are like, oh, they're princesses. It's to me, that's what I grew up with. Like,
yeah.
I've always found Disney women to be very forward for their time period. When you go back and watch some of these, especially the older ones like Snow White or even to extent Cinderella, mm-hmm. they kind of broke their molds at the time, you know, mm-hmm. and they continue to do that with their modern princesses.
Yeah, I think, you know, I feel like Disney gets all this criticism and they're like, oh, we all grew up in this Disney fairy tale story mm-hmm. of like how your life is going to go. And I remember watching Disney movies as a kid and I never thought that the end goal was to fall in love and get married. That was like just a byproduct of having awesome adventures.
I thought the end goal was to make friends with rats and birds that would help you build things.
You have to sing with the birds.
Okay? I mean, that's what I was taught. But even like, I mean, you look at the ones that kind of we grew up with, which were Little Mermaid and Jasmine, and, you know, and Beauty and the Beast. I mean, these were women who, yes, had feminine qualities, but were strong and independent. Yeah. I mean, I wanted to be Jasmine because she was cool and had a tiger and kicked butt.
Yeah, she wore pants, too.
And Disney, I feel, has continued that, especially with their newer princesses, mm-hmm. that I feel they speak to, and it speaks across gender roles.
Absolutely.
I have so many little boy cousins who will talk about Frozen because they just love it and mm-hmm. and there's nothing wrong with that. And I think there's just something to be said about Disney creates such a timeless character that visually appeals to us.
Absolutely.
And so we're gonna start with some of the newer princesses, and across the months we'll go back because we can't not ever talk about Disney.
Yes.
So one of the really cool things is that McCall's Cosplay Collection has tons of dresses at your disposal. They've got beautiful ball gowns, beautiful medieval dresses.
I would say that's a medieval gown.
If you wanted to do a magical girl version of your favorite princess. It was just, well, we'll go through all these patterns later, but it's just so amazing that they're really going out of their way to market to that cosplay community.
Absolutely.
They know what we want. And then you found, I'm not actually sure who posted in these notes, the Happily Grim Blogspot.
Oh, that is that. Yes, that is awesome. They have amazing things on that website that has tons of tutorials. I think we actually have a photo, the Disney dress tutorials for not so grown-ups, that have great patterns and tips and different things. And then I also love, there is a great website, DisneyScreenCaps.com, that has amazing screen caps and really zoomed in and great HD quality, so you can see the different patterns and the details when you're making these costumes.
Yeah. Well, that's something I love about the Disney, like, art design, is that they're very simple color blocking that allows you as a costumer to really elaborate if you want. I mean, you know, taking Kristen's Spring Elsa, which we'll get into later on the show, but, you know, we've seen the art from this, but you can really take and add to it, like bling and glitter and crystals. And, you know, I've seen a ton of, like, Belle costumes where people do, like, all right, we're going to do a solid yellow dress, but then some people add glitter, like the glitter tool. Mm-hmm. And you can just really enhance these costumes. And that's, you know, I think as a costumer, one of my biggest draws for Disney costuming is just the level of intricacy or not that I can put into it.
And they both look great.
Yeah.
You can do very simplistic, simple lines, or you can have embellishments.
It's gorgeous. I mean, that to me is the nicest thing about adapting costumes from animation, is that especially with the older films and the more traditional 2D animation style, there's not really room for texture and little trim and details. So
it's one of my favorite things to see about people's different
completely
costumes, seeing like the different like fabrics and trims that they pick, and kind of what they do to really give it some realism and bring it to life.
Oh, well, something, you know, we haven't really touched much on the show is that, you know, for people who go to conventions, anime, comic book, pop culture ones, and compete in the contest, they do have design craftsmanship judged contests that aren't just necessarily the masquerade where people perform.
Right.
Now, in terms of being a judge, you know, do you look for where people have gone off, you know, off script on the costume and maybe add their own embellishments? Is that something
you
would actually give points for?
Yeah, definitely. That's part of, that is one of the things we look for as judges, is the execution of the costume. So it's both, are they accurate, but then did they give it their own special little touch? Did they get creative with it? And that's always a nice thing to see.
That's awesome. Yeah. Well, we'll definitely talk more about that, because I think a lot of people are probably curious about the whole judging process. Like, what's it like to get up on stage and in front of people and have people look at you? Because it could be intimidating.
Don't be nervous. We don't bite. I promise.
So we're going to start off with Tiana from Princess and the Frog, which I will say I feel was one of the more underrated Disney films.
I completely agree. And I mean, this is just going back to how we mentioned earlier that the heroines in Disney films tend to be progressive for their time period. You know, it's like Snow White nowadays is a damsel in distress.
Yeah.
But back then, what she was doing was revolutionary. She ran away. Like, she took her life into her own hands. But Tiana, I loved in Princess and the Frog because she was not a princess. She wanted to run a business. She's awesome.
She really is. And I mean, we can't ignore the fact that Tiana is Disney's, like, first person of color.
Yeah, totally.
And I'm very proud of it. Proud of Disney for doing that. And I just, you know, but for me, I guess being raised where I was just, you know, I'm from the South and I'm like, good, this is about time, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
But I loved her story. I loved the music in it so much. But I spent a lot of time in New Orleans. It has a special place in my heart. So I love it. And I love how they brought in so many elements of that world, of that, like, era, not just the 20s, but New Orleans, into her gown. So we're just, you know, going to go straight into her princess gown that she wears. It's a beautiful tulip. It's a flower.
Yeah.
She's completely encased in leaves and petals. And, you know, you look at this and it looks just like it's magical. And unlike any other of the previous Disney princess costumes, you know, when you sometimes see like the theme park exclusive or the Barbie like variant where they look like something, this, you know, to me is like a really great design, because I think especially in the time where Princess and the Frog came out, you kind of saw a little bit of more magical costuming coming in, like prom season and especially the Disney wedding collection.
Right.
And I love Tiana's dress, mainly because we also see sparkle.
Just a little bit.
But in terms of making this, you know, there's outside of a couple patterns for small children, there's really no dedicated pattern for Tiana's costume,
which is really surprising and disappointing to me.
Because
once again, I think, like you're saying, Meredith, it is such an underrated film, because they really have crafted this super fun, authentic Southern New Orleans, like very steeped in that kind of, you know, Creole tradition. And I think that this movie gets overlooked a lot, maybe because it happened during a time period when Disney was making the transition into doing more 3D animation, and this is your more traditional kind of 2D animation. I don't know. All I'm saying is we need a Tiana pattern.
Yeah, we need a Tiana one, because if you're going to go about this, like the one thing you want to do is for the base of the dress, you really want to look for a big ball gown. And luckily, McCall's put out, as I predicted, we were going to get a certain ball gown pattern by the end of the year. Well, we got it mid-year. And the fluff of this ball gown pattern would be perfect as a basis for Tiana. But the thing with Tiana's dress is that you have to really be able to drape fabric and cut fabric to get those layers and get those petals.
Yeah.
And really, this is a material that you could easily use. Like Joann's makes up a ubiquitous their Casa line, and their Casa satin plus their Casa glitter tulle, and that would be so perfect for Tiana's
dress. They actually have Casa satin now that has glitter on it.
It's
perfect.
It's amazing.
I've used it. It's amazing.
And you can get it when it's on sale. Like, you can get it for as low as $3 to $5.99 a yard.
Oh, it's great. Now, if you have Joann coupons, you probably have a 60% off coupon, because I know I do.
Yeah. Yep.
So, I'm surprised you still do. I'm surprised you haven't
already. Oh, I'm going to go use it after the show.
and they'll routinely put Casa Satin on 40 to 60% off. Yeah. And I tend to buy in bulk when that happens. And that would be like for Tiana's dress. I would definitely, if you were trying to save some money but want it to look good, the Casa line, especially their satin, it's got such a great weight. We've talked about the drape of fabric before. You know, it hangs really nice. Mm-hmm. It's not going to be too flimsy. And I feel like, and actually, can we go back to Tiana's dress so I can look at it? Yeah.
Yeah.
So you could, you know, you could go with even a lighter weight material on the very bottom, that like darker yellow.
Yeah.
If you don't want to go with a satin, they have the crepe line, which is really pretty. It's a softer matte fabric. You could do a satin on top. And if you wanted to do for the green petal part, you can either get the glitter Casa satin or you can get the polyester chiffon. Mm-hmm. Is that what they have? Is that their...
They have polyester chiffon, and then they also have a really pretty kind of shimmery organza.
Oh, that's
that would be super pretty for the leaves.
Yeah,
I was going to say, and if you want to combine those two, crepe back satin is a really great fabric to work with as well.
It really is.
It'd be really nice for the underskirt on this.
Yeah, I mean, and it's something that, you know, and then to build that bulk out, you know, you'd obviously, it's going to be one of those dresses that, you know, obviously if you had like a dress form or a mannequin, it would be easier to get the base down and then lay the fabric and cut. And you know, one of the things too, with especially if you're looking at those petals, if you're using a synthetic fabric and you don't want to spend all this time clipping and hemming and hand tacking it down, I love with polyesters, you just burn it.
Yep.
just take a lighter. I use the grill lighter, and you can just very carefully singe the edges. And if you're younger, if you need parental supervision, I don't suggest doing this without your parents. Talk to them, have them do it. But for those of us 18 and older, I learned that when I was working on a Goddess Madoka from Madoka Magica costume. I used the Casa satin and I just burned the edges of my petals, and it worked really good. You just want to be careful to not let the heat sit too much, otherwise it will.
You can do it with a soldering iron.
Really?
Too. Mm-hmm. If you trace your pattern out on your fabric and, you know, you want to have like a heat resistant cutting mat or like a piece of wood or something like that to cut it on.
Yeah.
You can actually use a soldering iron to cut the fabric, and it'll singe it as it cuts.
Oh, that's amazing.
And so you get a nice even edge.
Wow. And that's something to get when you get the like 50% off accessory or tool like sale at Joann's. Pick yourself up a nice soldering iron.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And this is something that you could easily do. You can, you know, get a bunch of fabric and cut the petals out or do them individually. Now, terms, again, with the top, since there's really nothing... nothing, this Vogue pattern, which is Vogue... 2929, would actually be a really good basis for your top. You could add some, like, white boning to kind of give it a corseted feel, or you could even just kind of make this and put a skirt over it.
Mm-hmm.
But this is kind of the closest thing I found for the top, and it is a, it's a beautiful dress in itself.
Yeah.
And I feel like in terms of, like, getting to know where the gathering and the pleating is going to be on the top, it's going to be the closest to Tiana.
Yeah.
Now, the other thing with building a ball gown in any sort of garment is that you need a hoop skirt. You need petticoats. And I've made hoop skirts from scratch, and I've spent $200 on making a hoop skirt with all the actual metal boning. And then you can just go on eBay and type in hoop skirt, and then this guy pops up for $30.
Yep.
And this is the same hoop skirt in which I've used for my Cinderella.
Mm.
It's made out of plastic boning, but it's enough if you don't have a ton of weight on it.
Yeah.
It holds up, and you can throw a petticoat on top of it. Like, just, you know, if you want to take a huge rectangle of, say, 6 to 8 yards, gather it, and put a petticoat to kind of hide some of the you know, ridges and boning. But this is a really great option for cosplayers. You know, eBay is still a really good resource for inexpensive things. You know, we go to the fashion district and get this stuff.
For, been so spoiled living in LA.
Yeah, it's up my cosplay game. But yeah,
it's so
a really
true.
Good base for any of your big ball gown skirts. And like I said, just pop on eBay and type in a hoop skirt, and you'll find it. So
awesome.
Yeah. Now, of course, I love this photo, Jennifer Hudson, from the Annie Leibovitz series that she did with all the Disney princesses. The Annie Leibovitz, who's a celebrity photographer, did a huge series of portraits over the last couple of years featuring all the Disney princesses, and they are just absolutely magical. And this, you know, kind of gives you an idea that, you know, it's funny. This is a gorgeous dress. I've actually seen cosplayers do an even more intricate job.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, if you want to go a bit casual with Tiana, we have her waitress outfit, which is, I mean, this is like, I feel like I'm walking into the beignet shop right now.
She like the girls that work in the bakeries at Disneyland.
Yeah.
She's, I mean, it's very Belle.
It is.
It's like she and Belle would be hanging out while Belle's reading, and she's like, okay, I could use some help.
Yeah,
please.
Like, come on, walk down. I love this outfit and its simplicity. And we tend to see, you know, we know the Disney princesses that they have their casual and they have their princess outfit, and this one particularly is, you know, it's a waitress outfit, but it's something that you could easily make at home. And in fact, one of our awesome viewers, Gwen, did a Tiana costume.
She's in the chat now.
She's
she'll see it.
And I actually wanted to share, Gwen told us how she made hers, and she actually used the New Look 6567 pattern as the base of the dress, in which she just modified to add like sleeve cuffs and then the top cuff, which is a really, it is basic, very easy dress. It's also got some really nice, like, simple style lines, so it's fitted on the top and flares at the bottom. And then she used the See and Sew Butterick 5125 apron pattern.
Awesome.
And again, it's another one of their, like, bargain $1.99 easy patterns. And this is a costume that, you know, if you're getting into cosplay and you want something new to learn, you know, this is a really easy place to start. And Gwen looked fantastic. Thank you so much for sharing that. And I just wanted to, share your tips with the
You should definitely have the plate of beignets as a prop.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And then everyone around you can OD on powdered sugar.
Unless you're there with me, in which case it's just an empty plate that you carry around. You're like, how did this happen?
I would eat all of them before they made it.
The empty plate and then the powdered sugar just like...
It's like, oh, did you get into a fight with Olaf?
No.
Not exactly.
No, just something. God, guys.
A little more shameful than that.
I really miss New Orleans and I really miss beignets. Sad.
The ones they have at Disneyland are pretty good.
Yeah, I know, but my pass, I'm on the cheapest pass, so I can't go until September.
No.
Oh, no. I know. Disneyland problem.
Yeah, me too. I'm on the same pass.
Yeah.
It's a sad time to be me.
But it's also really hot. Let's be honest.
It's true. And there's so many people there. Happy 60th anniversary. Yeah.
Any weather is good beignet weather.
Yeah, that's true. They need to just sell them at Disney, that Downtown Disney.
They do. Oh, yeah, that's where you get the beignets, actually, is at the Jazz Kitchen.
Oh,
yeah.
I always get them in the New Orleans part
of the
park.
The ones
they also
ones
have churro ice cream sandwiches on the way to the beignet stand, and so I've never made it to the beignet stand because I'm too busy eating the churro ice cream sandwich.
Guys, I only had Dole Whip for the first time, like, 2 months ago.
I've never had Dole Whip.
Oh, no!
You're missing out.
Yeah,
it's
fantastic. Well, around the same time, like not too long around the time that Princess and the Frog came out was Tangled, which was hailed by many as Disney's big comeback. Features a cute little girl with long blonde hair that she throws down a tower.
Yep.
And crazy dude climbs up. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's all you need to know about Tangled, but
it's like my relationship with my cat. That's why I like this one so much. So I'm like, I get it. My cat's constantly pulling my hair.
It is based on the fairy tale Rapunzel.
It's actually based on Alana's relationship with my cat.
That's so great. That's why it was Disney's big comeback. They're like 3D animation and also the girls at home with cats.
That's true.
They're
gonna get it.
They understand.
They're really gonna be able to relate to this.
I had to cut my hair off because my cats wouldn't stand. I feel like Tangled, I saw a lot of people cosplay Tangled when it came out. Like, I would be at an anime con and I'd see like 20 Rapunzels.
Yep.
And the cosplay level with Flynn.
Flynn Rider.
Was amazing. Like, I saw so many girls cosplaying, which was super rad. Mm-hmm. It's such a great little design. It's different from what we've seen from a lot of the princess dresses. And while this is technically her casual outfit, we start to see some more detail brought in with this.
Yes.
You know, we're seeing the stitching on the bottom in the train of the dress. You're seeing a lot more texturing. And this is their first 3D one. So they're able to do a little bit more, but the lines are still clean and simple.
Mm-hmm.
And did you want to talk about this one? Or, you were talking about Merida.
Yeah,
right, okay.
This one is interesting, though, because it is kind of one of the first times that we get to see that detailed pattern work.
Yeah.
That's especially in the center panel, which I absolutely love. There were some cosplayers who actually found who created the look of the center panel, which was pretty cool.
Yeah, because I don't think we have a detailed shot of her, but you do, you know, you this is a really great dress in where you can combine different patterns and different textures. You know, obviously, again, you can kind of feel like satins would be go-tos. Crepe, I feel like this is one of those where like a crepe on that top would look really, really well.
Right. That or a really nice brocade or jacquard.
Yeah. Ooh. Yeah.
I actually have some hold away for a fancy Rapunzel.
That's the other thing is you can always go like super elaborate with these Disney costumes.
Yeah, it's very true.
But as Alana was saying, with that center panel, you can do your own fabric on demand. Spoonflower.com and Fabric on Demand both offer prints. And some, you know, we have that, the Rapunzel fabric at Spoonflower. Photo if you wanted to get that exact.
Yeah, you can see the doll that we have has the really good, is where you can see the pattern of the fabric really, really well. That's a little bit more difficult in some of the shots in the movie. But I think the next photo we have is the actual fabric that's been.
There it is.
So there is an amazing cosplayer who had already pre-made, Amy Major made it. Cool.
Why didn't I get Amy's photo for this? Kicking myself.
I think she was on the one that you had for the
it's fine.
We'll get to it.
Amy is one of those cosplayers who I have followed her for a decade plus now. Her work has just always been like on point, fantastic.
Yeah.
I love her to death. But yeah, we'll have to find a picture of that. But this this print right here is great. Now, I know a lot of times with Spoonflower, people will upload their prints so you can buy. Mm-hmm. So someone's already made this.
She did that.
Oh, Amy did.
Yeah, and then she put it as a free pattern that was available.
So fantastic.
So that you can just literally have it printed out. So did some of the work for you, which is very nice.
It's awesome.
It's so wonderful. So yeah, just go. And I think the thing with, and I've ordered from Spoonflower before, they're limited in their types of fabrics. You can get cotton, satin, and that can be confusing for fabric. One of them has spandex. Mm-hmm. You can get some like nicer fabric, so you can get them printed on different weights of fabric. So if you don't want to just do a basic, cheaper cotton, you can spend a little bit money. But it is, you know, you're looking at $20 to $40 a yard for the custom print fabric.
But it's expensive.
It is pretty nice.
But it's just that one center panel, which is nice. Yeah, it's not the whole thing.
Yeah, exactly. You can get away with a yard because a lot of times, even with like the bigger Elizabethan gowns, you just do that center panel and connect it to a more basic fabric because it's going to be hidden. So you can totally do that. And then if you're wanting to, in terms of making the costume, McCall's has a really great bodice pattern, 4107. It's really... it's a really great Elizabethan top pattern. I've actually used this for a couple of like just Renaissance fair costumes.
Yep.
And you could easily just modify that top to create the bodice and then put an A-line skirt pattern into it. You just want to probably do something like add some piping along the panels. And you can either buy pre-made piping from your local fabric store. I tend to make a lot of my own piping these days, and it's really easy. You just get like plain cording and about an inch of fabric, fold it over the cording and stitch.
Yep.
And you're good to go.
And I love that the pink for this is the Rit dye pink.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, so if you dye the lace, it's you don't have to modify anything.
That is so awesome.
It's exactly Rit dye pink.
That's fantastic. And then just, while the embroidery can be intricate, there are other ways that you can accomplish doing embroidery. I've seen friends who have taken, if there's a flower motif, they'll buy, like, yards of lace fabric and cut out that and just kind of embroider it on. You know,
I don't embroider, that's what I do. I totally stitch lace on and it looks great.
I have an embroidery machine, I still haven't figured out how to use it.
I'm in the same boat. I have two.
Don't we have the same machine?
I have a Husqvarna, huge
one. You
have
a fancy embroidery machine.
I haven't had a chance to sit down and do it. I've been too busy and I'm sad.
See, I was lucky. I had a friend who had an embroidery machine, so I would just say, here it is. Thanks.
Oh, man. In the chat, I just want to say that Ghoulish Grin Films agrees with us on Dole Whips that you need to have one, Kristen, basically, is what it boils down to. They're the ultimate Disneyland treat. And Gwen Stacy says, props to Rapunzel cosplayers because those wigs are intense and they look real heavy.
Well, speaking of the wig, you got something
to say. You are accurate, Gwen Stacy. I did a wig class in college, a wig styling and design class, and it was around when Tangled came out and said, oh, this is brilliant, and started making it. And it was quite a lot more than I had initially anticipated. I would say if you're going to make your own wig for this one, the trick is buy significantly more loose hair than you think that you're going to need. Don't buy it online. They have where they'll say, oh, it's a great deal. You get this pack for $100. Don't do that. Go to an ethnic hair store. Buy as many packs as you can. A lot of times they'll give you discounts.
Get that jumbo braid. You don't need Kanakalan. Yes. You don't need... Toya Kalan, get jumbo braid. Yep. It's the thicker, heavy, it's very lightweight, but it's going to be like that Rapunzel hair.
It's like crimped and frizzy, and it's a great filler.
And you want it to be as fluffy as possible, because even though it looks like the silk straight hair is going to look best, it's not. And you're going to have you're going to need so much of it that it's ridiculous. I would actually recommend getting two of the blonde base wigs to start, so that you can cut hair from one of them to kind of incorporate. Because you will kind of have the discrepancy between the two kinds. And don't start your braid too high. Because then it's going to pull back. A good trick for this, if you braid your hair and put it across and pin it down, or if you do little pin curls around the crown, then put your wig cap on, safety pin it to the curls. Don't just bobby pin. Actually safety pin it on, because it's a lot heavier than you think it's going to be. And that's the easiest way to keep it from just pulling your wig cap or ripping your actual hair out, is to kind of just make a thick layer of your own hair at the crown and fasten it to there. And then, it's intense. So,
If I ever cosplayed Rapunzel, it would be post getting her hair all chopped off.
It's actually not as bad as you would think, but also set out more hair at the beginning so that you can make small braids to hide. You'll have little bits of glue when you glue the flowers on, and then you can pin underneath and have the smaller braids start underneath and use that to kind of hide some glue edges. And then it looks really nice and a lot more natural. Mm-hmm. And then it just adds a little bit more embellishment too, like how hers had a whole bunch of different braids in it.
Yeah. Nice. No, that's really awesome. No, for flowers, what would you suggest getting?
I went to Michael's and just bought a whole bunch of flowers. And then they had some that I thought were pretty that had little glitter trim on the outside that you can get that. Yeah. Or you can even do your own with just Elmer's glue around the side and just add some glitter if you want to add in a little bit of flair there.
Or you can be like Kristen and just get Swarovski crystals and glue to everything.
just rhinestones everywhere.
It's okay.
I found a rhinestone in my shoe.
It happens.
I love it.
I know.
The struggle.
The struggle
of living in my house.
Pink
rhinestones just.
But really, her house is fantastic. Her sewing center is the best thing in the world. Please come over and organize my life. Yeah, I think the Rapunzel wig is a cosplay into itself.
Mm-hmm. It's intense. Yeah. And I even tried a couple things where if you have kind of older wigs that have the rat, so if you're trying to do the big poof over it, I tried to make like a rat to put hair around so that it would make it thicker. Did not work. Just stick with just straight hair. Don't try to get fancy and creative. Because I was like, I'm really smart. I'm not smart at all.
So what grade did you get on your wig?
We didn't really get grades. It was more of like a, yay, you did it.
She went to a very progressive school.
Yeah, it was like a grade for the overall class.
Oh, that's good.
So, but I did get an A.
Good.
Yes. Awesome.
Yeah, one day we'll have to see this.
I know. They're all, my mom just has ridiculous, like, so Elizabethan wigs and crazy wigs that I have.
So your mom has like a shelf of all the wigs you've made in school?
Yeah, in the basement. Just an entire costume closet and wigs. And she's like, these just live here and take up space. So.
That's a good mom. My mom would have thrown all that out or donated it. God, that hair. That is...
Mine did not go that far down. Mine was about thigh length, so it didn't go all the way down to the feet because it's just too heavy. It's a lot more heavy than you anticipate that it's going to be, and you can really only wear it for a few hours before it starts getting uncomfortable, especially Dragon Con, Comic Con, places where it's very sweaty. You're going to want to take a shower immediately when you take that wig off because it will feel amazing.
I feel like I've seen this done in a couple like photo shoots where people have like fake hair that if they're doing like the photo shoot, they'll have it like wrapped around. So, you know, it's something you could cheat in a photo.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of Rapunzel cosplayers that like pin the braid up on their shoulder and so they give the illusion that it's maybe longer than it is.
Oh, yeah. That's not a bad idea. Yeah. Well, it's a beautiful wig, and I really hope we see some more. I'm still waiting. I want someone to turn in like a Rapunzel remix for our contest, just so I can see what they do with that wig.
Yeah.
Now heading over to Scotland. I really love Merida because it's Scottish for Meredith. Don't tell me otherwise. It is. It totally is. I'm Irish.
I'm
going to
look this up right now.
I don't know if it is, but it should be.
Emma's Scottish, so on behalf of the entire... And all of Scotland, she says, yes, that is correct.
Perfect. I'm Irish, so we're supposed to hate each other, but it's okay.
It's okay.
It's okay, we do.
As long as we mutually hate England, it's all good.
Well, perfect.
That's all you need.
Since I was raised by wild Brits. my godfather's British, at least. So I still spell things
my dad
you.
Is Scottish, so.
Nice. But yeah, Brave came out. It was, I'm going to just be honest, wasn't one of my favorite Disney films?
See, it's so funny. I love Brave, and I think that the reason I do is because, number one, it takes place in Scotland. I'm Scottish, so I'm biased.
Yeah.
And also, I didn't go into it with an expectation of it being, like, a hero story. It didn't bother me that it was a story about a mother-daughter relationship, and I ended up not seeing it until quite a ways in when everybody had been complaining about it. So I went in with very low expectations and was like, this was beautiful.
I was angry because it wasn't 2D animation. Because I'd watched that before I'd watched Tangled. So that was it. But that the story is actually what kept me interested because it wasn't very typical of the Disney story. I loved that it was a mother-daughter story. And I loved, I really, really loved Meredith's dress. I just
think
it's one of the best costumes from, like, it's grounded in, you know, some sense of historical fashion. It feels, you know, fantasy and real. Mm-hmm. And also, McCall's has, like, what I think is the best pattern.
I love that
dress.
Yes.
I really
do.
But can we just look at the wig on the little girl?
Oh,
because
it's
just brilliant.
So
I love it.
It's so perfect. This is another character that's so defined by her hair.
Yes.
When you think about
which
it.
Which is funny, too, because, get into it a little later on. There are the scenes where her head's covered, but that's actually traditional.
Yeah, that's totally accurate.
Which is funny because in the same scene, her mother's hair is not covered, and it's like, she should have a hand covered.
She's showing that she and her mom have more in common than she thinks.
You know. But there's a couple different ones that you can do. There's the Merida's casual outfit is the one that most people tend to cosplay and associate with it. The white undergarment is known as a kirtle.
Yes.
And that is 12th century Scotland. It is very, very accurate to the time. The sleeves are going to take a little bit more work because you do have to have kind of those insets that there's not really the pattern that allows for as much. You have to kind of work
elaborate
with it a little bit yourself.
That's why I think this one is actually really quite good, because before this pattern, a lot of people were altering a very similar McCall's pattern, but maybe it was a Buttrick pattern. Anyway, it was all in the McCall's company, but they were altering it and having to put the slashes in themselves. This one at least does allow for some.
I would definitely
gaping
just kinda,
so you can see.
I think we actually have a photo of that pattern. So you can see a little bit more that it does have that, and it is more accurate to the time period where the sleeves allowed for movement, which is nice, especially because she has the bow and arrow, which is. Anything with accessories is our original Katniss. That is pretty much an exact reference, which is pretty nice.
Yeah.
The shoes are like a rustic riding boot, but really any kind of boot would work with that one, which is also nice because flats at a con are always appreciated when you can have them.
Also, this dress is really long, so people aren't really going to see your feet that much.
I believe we also have a good picture of the cape. Yeah, the Simplicity pattern, 5794, is a great one to make that cape, which, again, is going to be very heavy. It is somewhat warm.
Yeah, that's something I would use a wool or wool blend for. If you're gonna go that route. This is not a summer cosplay.
No.
Tracy's CostumingWorld.com. They have one, a Merida, a teal dress, kind of step by step tutorial, which is nice for the formal one. Which I think we have a photo of that one as well. This one isn't seen as often. But this one is kind of a nice light weather alternative to when you have the really, really warm weather coat, everything. Yeah. It's going to be a bit overbearing. This one is kind of a nice one because you can use lighter fabrics. It's a little bit airier. You can see even where it's cut underneath, where you can have the paneling that allows you to breathe a little bit.
And what's really interesting
underarm.
About this dress is that it almost feels that if you wanted to, you could use a knit material. That would be completely inaccurate to the time period. I wouldn't say like a spandex, but you know, using some sort of knitted cotton,
like a
stretch
satin. Even if you wanted to get fancy, you could do like a silk jersey.
You could
have the right kind of sheen.
It would
to it,
and I mean, it would be like an 18 a yard. Material, right?
Oh,
yeah. But it would look gorgeous.
But it would look beautiful, and it would feel so nice.
It would be worth it when you're walking around outside
for sure.
Especially Dragon Con, when you're going from one hotel to the next, and you walk outside, and you're like, why, Atlanta, why do you hate us?
August, September is just like, if you wear anything heavy, it's just like, kill yourself.
Things but the nice thing is that you don't even need the wig. You just walk outside and your hair looks like that. Exactly. That's Atlanta.
Since I've left Atlanta, my hair is amazing. And, I mean, really, actually, I that's just me. That's a photo of me. Any given summer
day. Merida is Scottish for Merida. This whole time. Rapunzel's about me and my cat, and Brave is about you and your hair. So there you go. Yeah, so I think we actually, we may have a photo of the next one of the head covering. Yeah, yes, there we go. So that is, some people had problems with that scene, because they were like, her hair isn't showing. But that's more of the actual, what they would have at formal events. They also show her shoes in this one as well. You can look and see, I think we have a close-up of her actual shoes. They look like ballet flats that have been worn in a little bit. So if you want to use that, you can use the first two, I believe, we have are the patterns that are great for this dress. There's one that's the McCall's patterns, M4490.
4490, yeah. Yes. That was the next picture. Sorry, Jonathan. There we go. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's so that's perfect. And you could definitely use that and modify it. Also, the McCall's Cosplay Collection pattern. They have that one. B4827 is also awesome to use.
That is the exact one that I know I have friends who have altered it to make Merida dresses.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's pretty perfect. And then you can use just the trim around the bottom. It looks great. For shoes, again, it's always nice when you can wear flats. Hers were ballet flats for the most part. They're a little bit worn in. So you can either distress them yourself. You can dye them, distress them. Or just run around in them a whole lot and then...
Just wear them in your life. They're cute shoes.
Yeah, and the great thing about ballet flats, like actual ballet flats, you can just get them and dye them. If you get the pink or white satin, they're meant to be dyed. So. Mm-hmm.
Yes, I love that. Mm-hmm. And I love that it kind of having in the movie that they were worn down signifies that she dances a lot. She uses them a lot. So that's... Kind of makes the character even more likable. And
it's great because everything else is so pristine but her shoes. Mm-hmm. And I think, like you said, there's definitely something to be said about that.
Yeah. Well, because, I mean, that is the thing with animation in particular, is that the reason there are those very simplistic style lines is that, for the most part, costuming and animation, up to the point that Disney started doing the 3D films... It was very loosely based on historical costume.
Yeah.
And it was more about telling the story of who this character was. Mm-hmm. And that's something that hasn't been lost in the 3D films, even with films like Frozen, which we'll get into talking about now, because, I mean, we can't really ignore it. The art director for Frozen, Mike Giamo, he brought on designer Jean Gilmore, who was actually a character designer. She'd worked on, like, Hercules and Hunchback of Notre Dame, to basically be the costume designer for Frozen, even though it was an animated project. And that is not her official title. She's not credited as that in the credits anywhere. She's just listed as, like, art department or something like that. But she, in the other films that she had worked on, had started to do some research on various historical time periods, and it was something that she just liked and kind of fell into doing, and so that sort of became her responsibility on the movie Frozen, so that she was able to create this design that Mike Giamo wanted, which he described as being iconic and sumptuous.
Ooh.
So I think we have a picture of the Frozen poster there with... all the cast just hanging out in their sumptuous, iconic clothing. but basically, the costume design in this is very much like Brave. It is based somewhat in historical costume.
But here, I mean, the thing about Disney, it's a fantasy.
Exactly.
And things don't have to be truly historic.
Exactly. Yeah. And so, like, everything has a loose basis in an actual historical garment. Right. But if you were to go to a Scandinavian country in the 16th century, let's say, roughly, this is not what people would be wearing. They'd be wearing things that look sort of like this.
Yeah.
But not exactly.
But
not exactly.
Yeah, but I feel, in terms of at least Anna's outfit, her casual outfit, there was a lot of basis.
Oh, yeah. I mean, to me, Anna looks like your classic fairy tale heroine. You know, she looks like a Hummel statue.
Yeah.
Even though this is a Hans Christian Andersen story, sort of. And he was Scandinavian, not German. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I love her costume. And,
especially because it's reflective of her character, because she has that traditional, I want to fall in love, get married, have the Disney princess stereotype.
Absolutely. And so while they are based in, you know, history a little bit, they still are very much telling the story of who these characters are.
Yeah.
So we have some of the early concept art of Anna there. And basically, Mike Giacomo decided mm-hmm. early on that he wanted her to be cute. He wanted Anna to always have that cuteness factor. So a lot of her clothes, like, mm-hmm. It's like I said, I compared her to like a Hummel statue, which if you don't know what Hummel statues are, they're these little German statues of children wearing cute little outfits, kind of like Anna wears. And ultimately, the next photo shows how the design ended up. And apparently, Jean Gilmore was saying that the hat that she was wearing there in her traveling outfit, basically, once again, they were playing into that cuteness factor, but it is based on a real mm-hmm. hat. She just altered it and made it a lot simpler and slimmer and cuter because, she's a Disney princess. She's not a mountain man.
But, which would be an interesting Disney princess. The next one is Mountain Man.
Well, no, that's actually, it's going to be another side story from Frozen, and it's going to be the shopkeep. And his family, it's going to actually be based on him.
Awesome.
He's the real Disney princess.
I love that guy so much. That was such a great movie where she acquires this outfit. And the thing that's cool about the 3D films, which we've touched on a little bit with both Tangled and with Brave, is that once you see the characters actually rendered, the next picture is an actual rendering of mm-hmm. Anna, you start to see the texture and the detail come into the costumes in a way you simply couldn't do with the more traditional mm-hmm. cel-shaded two-dimensional animation. So with the 3D animation, that's going to inform your fabric choices a lot more.
This looks like, that's a wool cape. That's
absolutely a wool cape. Velveteen bodice. Yeah. The skirt is
like a woolen blend.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was going to say. Yeah. Like, if it was summer, it would definitely be a linen. But, she's out and about in the cold. It looks like she is wearing heavy fabrics mm-hmm. that she would actually be kept warm in. Mm-hmm. So you have a lot more to go on in terms of creating sort of screen accurate. There's more that goes into it because with the 3D animation, mm-hmm. you can see what this is made of. But McCall's has an Anna and Elsa pattern.
They have a Snow Queen mm-hmm. and a traveling girl
yes.
pattern.
Yes, Snow Queen and a traveling girl.
And what's great is they make the pattern, you can buy it for adult and child.
Yep.
And it's really great. You might need to elongate the skirt a bit for Anna.
Yep. I might put a little more structure mm-hmm. in the bodice too. Mm-hmm. But the cape is pretty good.
Yeah. The cape is spot on for both costumes.
Yeah.
I would actually keep the skirt short mm-hmm. just because of mobility.
I think it's kind of cute with the skirt.
And it's not 100% accurate to mm-hmm. the movie, but it is, especially when we're talking about having all these layers of things.
Exactly. Yeah.
Having a little bit of ventilation where you can walk around.
Yeah, it is really important.
Exactly. And again, because you are going to make this out of heavier fabrics. The ones that they actually show it made up in the pattern, I would not choose. They look a little mm-hmm. light. And
they're really good for like your princess parties.
Totally.
Halloween costumes. Yep, right. But from a cosplay aspect, you really want to think about your fabric choices. And I get like, even I personally wouldn't do Anna out of wool because
I'm allergic to wool. Yeah, so I wouldn't do it.
But there are really good substitutes. I think like
dedicate yourself.
Yeah, dedicate.
Come on.
Like Kristen said, linen for the skirt would be
amazing.
Great.
Linen or there's actually a lot of really good polyester like fake woolens that are very very passable. Some of them, you can only tell the difference by like burning it.
Yep. And to be honest, if you were looking to save some money, if you got a higher quality and nicer felt for Anna's cloak, mm-hmm. you could actually get away with a felt, and then you wouldn't have to finish the edges.
Vegito247 in the chat is saying that I'm sorry, I don't know if you're a girl or boy, has a friend who's been working on a coronation, Anna, and it's taking her a long time to sew on the gems. Feeling your pain, Meredith, on the Cinderella costume.
Yeah, but then she can say, this costume is a real gem.
Aww.
There has to be a bad pun every episode, so there you go.
No, for Anna's dress, you can easily paint the designs on.
Yeah.
You could hand embroider, which I know would take a while, but that would look the most authentic. You're like, nope.
I wouldn't do it. I would cut it out of fabric and stitch it on.
You could also do an applique, which using Wonder Under. binder, which is a double-sided adhesive in material that if you got it like a felt or a wool, you could just easily iron on those appliques and not worry about them
the edges fraying.
So one method I've seen people do for kind of faking out a chunky embroidery look is they'll actually take, you know, like the squeezy puff paint.
Yeah.
They'll actually do that and draw out like the stitches with it.
Oh, what a great idea.
And it's like if you get like the matte finish one, it's actually a pretty good like fake out for that.
That's really cool.
No. And if you wanted to go in machine embroider, there are actually people online, several people who have uploaded for like anywhere from $5 to $20, you can download the embroidery patterns and just plug them, you know, digitally plug it into your machine by the thread and hit go. Which, again, if I knew how to use my embroidery machine,
you would totally do it.
But, well, and also, so my thing is, I wouldn't do Anna because I kind of feel Elsa's my girl.
I love Anna. Yeah. When I watched Frozen, I was like, oh man, that's me in a movie.
Really? See, I saw Elsa and I was like, that's me in a movie. Stop this other one. Show me your ice castle. Do cool things.
It was when she talked about how she was feeling awkward and wanted to stuff chocolate in her face. I was like, just me.
By the way, am I the only one here who watches Once Upon a Time?
You're the only one that still watches Once Upon a Time.
If you guys want to see amazing renditions of these costumes, Once Upon a Time killed it with their Anna and Elsa.
Now, they look say, I will look at screenshots from Once Upon a Time.
Sure,
because it's pretty.
Yeah, really nice. It is pretty. And it's the pretty costumes they did in the show were like dead on from the films. They were wonderful.
So moving on to talk a little bit more about Elsa. The concept behind Elsa, the Snow Queen, was that her gown was to be simulated ice crystals, snowflakes, and reflective of common surfaces of ice in its various forms. Her this early concept sketch of her is really cute. I love her hairstyle.
No.
And her like, yeah, and I love the crown too. I'm kind of sad that the crown didn't make it into the final cut of the film, but I did like how she went from having the very uptight coronation hairstyle to just letting it down and having her messy braid. And so the next image is much more what she ultimately ended up looking like. And then again, you know, you can see in the rendering, which is the next image that we have, how, you know, her dress is definitely made out of something with a whole bunch of texture.
It's insane to me, too, for all of these animated films that when they animate them, they don't have the costumes on. There is separate costume designers whose job is to design animated costumes. That's something I can't even wrap my brain around.
Yeah, I've gotten to tour Walt Disney Animation before for Big Hero 6. I got to do the long lead press day. And hearing a lot of them had also worked on Frozen, and we're going to work on Frozen 2, and just hearing about the level of detail that this whole team that works on this, it's fantastic. And I'm actually going to, I have some friends now over there. I've made some WDA friends. I'm hoping to kind of get some of them on future shows so we can actually talk about digital costuming, because it's actually a huge part of our future.
Yeah.
So unfortunately couldn't get the people on for this one, but we got Kristen who can talk about real life fabrication.
Yes, exactly.
You know, Frozen Fever was the short that came out with Cinderella, which Disney's realized that Frozen is like their top game right now. And, you know, a lot of people jumped to make the new Anna and Elsa costume. You obviously one of them. And, can you speak about this wonderful creation you're wearing?
I made it in a week. You know, I've had the fabric for it for a while when I first saw the screenshots for Frozen Fever came out. And I saw it and I was just like, I want that one. Like, I mean, the Ice Queen's pretty, but flowers.
Kristen's all about
sparkly
pink.
Flowers. Yeah, pink flowers. Yeah. Like, done deal. So once I had a few good screenshots out, I went and like picked out all my fabric and bought everything. And then I just kind of hold it away for a while because I had some other projects I need to do. And then, I got this little window of free time and cranked it out.
Now, you have several pieces. You've got the dress, you have a corset, you have the underdress and the cape. So it's four pieces to it. And it's very similar to Elsa's standard dress that we see her in.
Right. It's like they basically kind of took her model for the Ice Queen dress, and then they just kind of tweaked it and recolored it. And, you know, they gave her the flowers instead of snowflakes and that. So it's very similar
in construction.
And you've obviously added some extra bling, because if we can see a little bit up close, Kristen's added little Swarovski crystals to all the tips of the flowers all and in the center. And then can you actually stand up and show your...
I gotta show part of the cape.
I love it.
And this is just one of those where we talked about cutting lace out and using it as an applique.
Exactly.
So you actually have a sequin fabric with an organza on top?
Yeah, that's awesome. It's a sequin mesh that I bought, and then I put organza on top so it doesn't get, like, snagged on stuff.
Oh, that's really smart.
And then I bought the lace, which I cut out and arranged into the appliques, sewed all that down, sewed the flowers on. And then I went crazy with my E6000 and a giant pile of Swarovski and Preciosa crystal, and I bedazzled all of them.
I love it.
I love it.
It took like 3 days just to glue all the rhinestones on.
Now, you know, we don't... And please, if I'm putting you on the spot for this, I apologize. People have asked sometimes, like, when you make your own costumes, price range. Hmm. What, you know, a gown like yours... What would you expect to pay for if someone was commissioning you for something like this?
I mean, if someone were to commission me for one like this, I'd probably charge around $2,500.
Now, one of the things that, you know, the reason we actually brought Kristen on is that she is what I call a professional cosplayer. She started just being a hobbyist and enthusiast like us. She went to school for fashion design, and now she makes commissions, works in the film industry, and has taken all of her cosplay love and knowledge and made a career out of it.
Yeah. I just wrapped a big music video that I did all the costumes and wardrobe on. I had like a month. I had to make 8 custom costumes for it.
Jeez.
Plus wrangle a bunch of other wardrobe. And so, you know, I do that. I do cosplay commissions regularly. I run an Etsy shop where I sell accessories. I do a lot of Disney princess accessories. So like the crowns and stuff like that. And, it's good. It's fun. I really like being able to, you know, do this for people, but it's a lot of work.
The last time I haven't seen Kristen since we made our bunny suits for WonderCon.
That was holed away.
Yeah, it's been like 3 months since last time I saw my friend. But obviously she's making cool things, so I can't complain. I mean, it's obviously a very busy and in a way difficult career choice, but it also seems very rewarding.
It is.
Yeah.
Definitely.
That's awesome.
Like, there's, you know, just like with any freelance work, you know, there's months that are, you're just scraping by eating peanut butter sandwiches and, you know, and then there's good months and, you know, you just have to balance it.
Yeah. Well, it's awesome. And I want to, you know, thank you so much for coming out and sharing.
She
finished this, like,
yeah, it's
so she can show it off on air, and it's absolutely stunning.
My wig.
Oh, and real quick, will you tell people how you made your little petals? Because that was a neat little tip.
Oh, your sparkly petals?
Yeah, my wig. Yeah.
I know.
Has a head of its own.
You're like Belle now, just getting a little piece of hair on your face. It's quirky, you know?
Just because a lot of people are like, when you're doing, especially even like blue Elsa, blue and green Elsa, you know, how are you going to do all the sequins on the tops? So I guess one of the options, you could buy sequins and just cut. Like,
right.
Yeah.
These actually were sequins that I found that they're what they call a marquee shape, which is the kind of pointy teardrop. And then I actually put the crease down the center just before I sewed them on. I just folded them in half and...
It's fantastic.
Unfolded them and sewed them on, and I'm pretty happy with how they turned out.
Would you also say that for the top for Elsa, for both springtime and traditional, having it corseted, like having a corset under base would be important to keep the weight of the...
Yes, for sure. Like the corset is what anchors the weight of the cape. So the cape is actually attached to the corset under the dress.
So not attached to the dress itself.
Because it would just pull the dress down.
Yep. As I'm learning with my Princess Serenity. I have to completely re-engineer.
Yep. Yeah. Oh, no.
That's fine. I'm just going to come hang out with you and sew all next week.
Beware the rhinestones.
Oh, God. That's okay. It sounds like you'll just get attacked by rhinestones.
Maybe Cinderella, and if you just drag Cinderella around your floor, she'll get finished.
Cinderella Swiffer.
Yep. Done.
Pick multi-purpose. Up finish a cosplay and clean your house.
No problem with it. I wish when I Swiffered there was just gems and glitter everywhere. I'd do it more often.
Welcome to my life.
I did want to mention, just before we move on and wrap things up, is that though, of course, we love our partnership with McCall's, and they do have a fabulous pattern for the dresses that Anna and Elsa wear for the majority of the movie, the Snow Queen dress and the traveling outfit. I do want to also just point out Simplicity's officially licensed patterns, because they're pretty great. Mm-hmm. And so they have one which includes the Anna coronation dress and the Elsa Snow Queen dress, and then the other pattern includes the Anna traveling outfit and the Elsa coronation dress.
I actually used the pattern for the Ice Queen dress, the cape portion for my cape, and I just lengthened it some because I thought it was a little short.
A little short, yeah.
But yeah, it was definitely a good base to work off of.
Yep. Yeah, it's those licenses, man.
So, yep.
Yeah. But yeah, no, it's use every resource you have, guys, because those, you know, those are some really great patterns out there. Now, before we go, we have to, we've got some fan submissions. We've got some really great ones. This is Kelby in her Merida. It's a wonderful wig. I really just, you know, whole outfit looks really great.
Yeah, she sewed two wigs together to achieve that level of
maximum fluff.
Yeah, that level of fluff.
And Kelby, if you're watching this episode, I promise that we'll get back to you. It's just a really crazy week. Next up, we have Candace in her superhero Ariel costume. This is one of those, another great example that reimagining one of your favorite characters. We have Daisy in her shipwreck Ariel, which, you know, and just take
the sail.
I did
that for a Disney party in college.
It's like also good for a toga party.
Yeah, it's great.
Then I want to mention Gwen again and her waitress Tiana, and then Katie and Cliff as like the my favorite.
If you like look up Princess Aurora and Prince Philip just on Google image search, like this is gonna be like the fifth result.
I love you guys. Yeah. I'm sorry. I always post Katie's stuff because I love her. Yeah. So there we go, Katie. And then we've got Teresa in her Cinderella gown with her beautiful shoe. I just have to also say Teresa is one of those cosplayers that for years I followed and now I'm friends with. So I'm like, senpai knows me. And then finally, my other really awesome friend Kim, who I've known forever, in her Maleficent costume, because villains are princesses too.
They are.
Thank you. Oh, and we've got a couple more submissions. We have this wonderful Cinderella Snow White. Sorry. I have to look at my phone because I feel like a jerk because this is Panda. This is Panda in her Snow White. And then we have Lauren from Castle Corset Tree, another professional seamstress. Yes. Amanda, her friend, they are birds of play. And Chrissy Lynn, last week's guest, from one of my favorite live action Disney movies, Hocus Pocus. So, princesses, traditionally,
they're still Disney.
They're Disney. Yeah, well, they earn a shout out because witches are princesses in my world.
So. Yes.
And that's just a fantastic costume group that you can't not. I'm sorry, I couldn't not feature them. Yeah. They're amazing. But yeah, so it looks like we have wrapped up this edition of Cosplay Coach.
Yes.
In the crazy week that it is. it's been a wonderful week. No, seriously. We've got so much going on. You know, tomorrow evening, the three of us are going to be heading out to South Point, Las Vegas for Amazing Comic Con Las Vegas. God, guys, I'm really tired. I'm sorry, I was at E3 all day yesterday, and my brain is like in video game explosion mode. So many video games. We're going to be doing some video game editions coming up here.
Heck yes. Sir.
But this weekend we'll be talking about cosplay and all the wonderful things that the ladies do over at AfterBuzz. And there's some great guests, so come join us at Amazing Las Vegas Comic Con. On our month-long journey as we head down our road to Comic-Con. We want to remind everyone we're taking submissions as of now for the McCall's Cosplay Challenge. We're going to be live at some point during the weekend. We'll fill you in at Comic-Con. And if you can't make it to Nerd Mecca, we're going to be hosting that virtual contest, and that will go on the same time. So as we mentioned before, the challenge is just give us, you know, make an original take on your favorite character. It doesn't have to be Disney. It doesn't have to be anime. Just take a popular culture character that you love and change it up. And we'll start taking those submissions at thecosplaycoach at gmail.com. And before we go, we have some more giveaways.
Yay!
So thanks to McCall's Cosplay, we have a ton of patterns. We're going to be giving out... three set surprises. We'll have the Snow Princess collection. We're going to have the Magical Girl pattern, the beautiful ball gown, and we're going to be doing some of the Scottish princess and the traditional, which, by the way, if anyone wants to do the mother from Rapunzel.
Oh, that's totally Mother Gothel.
It's totally Mother Gothel. We'll be giving these away, and I think you had a really good idea for the challenge this week.
So basically, guys, we know that sometimes you don't have time to work on your cosplays during the week. I think this is something that we all suffer from as well, unless we're Kristen and this is our job. we want to know what you guys want to see in future episodes of the Cosplay Couch. Mm-hmm. So right now we're doing our Countdown to Comic-Con series, and basically, you know, after that, we're open for suggestions.
Yeah.
So in order to get a chance to win these patterns this week, we simply want you to tweet your suggestions at us, or you can email us at thecosplaycoach@gmail.com. You can post it on our Facebook wall. We don't care. Just reach out to us. Let us know what kind of things you'd like to see in future episodes, and we will enter you for a chance to win some of these fabulous patterns from McCall's.
It's pretty exciting, because I know, like, and by the way, I will say, from someone who I've used several of these patterns, and they're great, and I love them all, and yeah, I'm kind of jealous that I can't just keep them. But that's for you guys. All right, so that is it for the Cosplay Coach. We will be back next week for a very expanded edition called Superheroes in Spandex. We're going to kind of go over some of the more technical details of working with stretch fabrics and how to craft your favorite superheroes. And I want you guys to pay special attention to the McCall's Cosplay blog, because starting the 18th, they're going to be launching something pretty rad that, if you're into making spandex bodysuits, it might be pretty helpful. So we'll be doing some solo alongs and some really awesome stuff with McCall's. So tune into McCall's Cosplay, tune into the Cosplay Coach, and we're going to talk all things spandex next week. And don't forget, while you can, go on over to YouTube, subscribe, like, head on to iTunes, give us those 5 stars, hit up podcast1.com, take that little survey for us, because we'd really appreciate it. And most importantly, where can we find you?
Yeah, people are asking for your website.
Well, I currently don't have a website because I am revamping it. But I do have my Facebook page, which is facebook.com/spaceinvadercos, COS at the end. And then on both Twitter and Instagram, I am at spaceinvaderk.
You can also see in her house, which you won't ever be able to, a really cute Space Invader pillow.
I have a bright pink Space Invader on my couch.
So Alana,
should Instagram that.
Yeah, you should.
I did.
But I will do it again.
Yes. Awesome. Regram. You can find me on Twitter at Elena Jordan and on Instagram at That Elena Jordan Girl. You can find me on Twitter at Emma Fife, also on Instagram at Emma Fife, on Facebook I'm Emma Fife, I'm Emma Fife everywhere Emma Fifes are sold.
And you can find me on Instagram and Twitter at M Placco, and you can find us at Las Vegas Comic Con at the South Point this weekend. So we will see you guys next week. Bye! Bye.
Producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.